I'd like to begin by just reading you a small piece from the teaching or the discourse on metta, and it's basically the refrain that runs through all of the Brahmavihara qualities. So it says, with boundless friendliness for the whole world should one cultivate this immeasurable heart in all directions, without obstruction, without hate, and without ill will, standing or walking, sitting or lying down. Whenever one is awake, may one stay with this recollection. This is called the best and most sublime way of dwelling in this world. One who is endowed with ethics, endowed with insight, not clinging to wrong view, and having overcome all passions for sensual craving, will not come to lie in a womb again. So there's much that is actually held within this passage. Part of it, of course, that this phrase, one shall not come to lie in a womb again, it means bringing to an end these endless cycles of repetition and that create and recreate distress. This is where the Buddha's really referring to this unshakable liberation of the heart. It's also, of course, very much a repetition of the lines that are used in the Satipatthana Sutta in praise of mindfulness, that this is the most noble way of abiding in this world here and now. And I think when we really kind of listen to or to read that passage, it sounds like a very big ask. It sounds like a very high bar. And it is. It truly is, because this is not just feeling episodic moments of kindness or compassion. This is actually really speaking about liberating the heart from the patterns of greed and hatred and delusion, which does not leave a vacuum behind it. You know, the falling away of greed, hatred, and delusion is actually the flowering of the Brahmavihara qualities. The flowering of the Brahmavihara qualities is the falling away of greed, hatred, and delusion. And even though it sounds like a very big ask, then we remember that the size of the task can only ever be equal to the size of the moment. We don't actually have tomorrow's metta. You know, we don't actually have next year's compassion. You know, we don't have next week's joyfulness. This can actually only be equated to the size of the moment. And that is, of course, the only place where we can tend to the shape of and quality of our own heart and mind. So what we see in the Brahmaviharas, in a way, is they hold the entire path of awakening within them. There is ethics, there is integrity, that in its deepest sense, not guided by self-cherishing or by self-protection. There is samadhi within metta, because this is a way of collecting and gathering our intention and our attention and learning to sustain this. There is insight. They are concerned with not developing transient emotions, but really understanding what causes and what liberates distress. These are interactive qualities. They are not necessarily, I'm in two minds about this. They're often seen as being developmental or kind of hierarchical in a sense. And on one level, they are, you know, because metta opens the door to all of the other qualities. None of compassion, joy, equanimity are enabled and made possible by that foundation of metta. You know, it doesn't mean that we never practice joyfulness or cultivate joyfulness until we're fully accomplished in metta. But it is recognizing that this foundational base of all the other qualities is actually in metta. It's not as if we never practice equanimity until we're fully accomplished in compassion. In fact, you would probably need a great deal of equanimity in order to cultivate compassion. And yet equanimity is often, upekkha is a word that is often used interchangeably with nirvana. You know, this great, profound, unshakable steadiness of the heart, rooted in understanding, is used interchangeably with nirvana. And upekkha, or equanimity, is often presented as being the crown of all of the other Brahma-viharas. But they are interactive qualities. They support and nourish each other. They are not practiced or cultivated in isolation. And Longchenpa, he put it very beautifully. He says, out of the soil of friendliness grows the beautiful bloom of compassion, watered by the tears of joy and sheltered beneath the cool shade of the tree of equanimity. In other discourses, it says, metta gives to equanimity its boundless nature. Compassion guards equanimity from falling into indifference. Equanimity gives selflessness to metta and gives patience, courage, and fearlessness to compassion. Equanimity guards joy from falling into sentimentality, and it brings all of the noble qualities of heart together in freedom. So these are interactive qualities. They are never actually seen in isolation. So what I'd like to suggest is that we have a sitting period before we break for lunch. So again, once more, just finding a posture of ease and alertness. And perhaps just being mindful of what you are sitting in the midst of. Sitting in the midst of the life of your body just now, however that is. It's places of discomfort, places of ease. Sitting in the midst of the life of your moods, mental states, however they are just now, whether contracted or spacious, whether dull or bright. Sitting in the midst of whatever thoughts are present just now, whatever images. Sitting in the midst of the world of sounds and quietude. And in the midst of all of the people in this room, those you know and those you don't know. And in the midst of all of this, establishing mindfulness, wakefulness, turning towards this present moment. And establishing an intention and attitude of metta, an affectionate curiosity in meeting the world of the moment. Feeling the body sitting, the felt sense of the body breathing. Simply attuned to the aliveness of your body of this moment. Okay, so we're going to obviously take some time for lunch now. After the lunchtime, we will launch directly into reflection upon metta. Now I'm pretty sure there's some instructions about lunchtime, Deb. Thank you.